Well, greetings and welcome to the Light Reading Podcast. I'm Jeff Baumgartner, a senior editor at Light Reading.
Hi, Jeff. Scott Caruso. I lead strategic ventures at Cable Labs. I also am the president of Gridmetrics, a wholly owned subsidiary of Cable Labs.
Excellent. Scott, good to have you on the podcast. So we talked about Gridmetrics at some length a couple of years ago, and I think it's a good time to get caught up on the progress you've been making and to maybe dig into some of the key learnings you've had so far. But to get the ball rolling and set the table, can you provide a bit of an overview on how Gridmetrics got its start? I think we called it an incubation project or program at Cable Labs originally, and then how Gridmetrics is now helping to pinpoint power outages.
Perfect. Yeah, that's a great lead-in, Jeff. I'll start with this. Really, all began as a hallway conversation about 7 years ago now. Literally, it was a passing comment I heard in the hallway at Cable Labs, and it was, well, of course, you know, the broadband operators know when and where power is out before the utilities do. And that just struck a chord with me.
Like, it was just like a fact, like, oh, yeah, we kind of know this. Yeah. All right.
And so I actually asked, well, how do we know that? Like, what gives us that kind of an insight? And look, I'm an entrepreneur. I'm not a cable guy. I came to Cable Labs as effectively as an opportunity, as an entrepreneur, to be able to look at opportunities at Cable Labs. And one of the things that struck me about this conversation was, this visibility comes from the devices that are powering the last mile of the broadband networks.
So things like nodes.
Yeah. So every fiber node, right? You had fiber on one side, coax on the other. So you're converting photons to electrons and electrons to photons. That requires power. So every fiber node has an accompanying power supply. And in the broadband networks, what makes those power supplies really interesting and unique, there's three attributes. Number one is they're industrial grade UPSs. So they're resilient to power outages, right? 4 to 6 hours at a minimum. And that was actually as a result of kind of VoIP offerings back in the late 90s, early 2000s. The second is they have a cable modem inside it. And that was actually the aha moment for me, is there's actually a cable modem inside the power supply.
Right, because that can give you some analytics, right?
Yeah, it's basically so that the operators can have visibility into the power supply. It also happens to be the
beyond
mechanism.
Beyond just off and on? Yeah,
right.
So just you beyond off and on? Okay,
yeah. Yeah, today they have a protocol called SNMP, Simple Network Management Protocol, that's used to query those power supplies. And you get simple things like, you know, what is the voltage readings? What is the inverter status? Simple stuff like that. Okay. But it exists, right? And then the third attribute is that when you look at the location, the actual number of these power supplies, the density and distribution of these, it's phenomenal. There are hundreds of thousands of them. They're already out there, right? And they're at the neighborhood level, basically, because they're associated with nodes. So in aggregate, if we could go and collect data consistently from these devices, what we end up with is this very holistic observational view of the state of power by looking at those devices. And that's really the fundamental initial premise of Gridmetrics, is we can provide this out-of-band view of the state of power consistently across the U.S. footprint.
Interesting. Now, how does that differ than how power companies know or understand power outages, other than somebody calling in and saying, hey, my power's out?
Yeah. So Jeff, I've been at this now for about 7 years. I have learned a ton about the utility industry. I'm not a utility guy, just like I'm not really a broadband guy. What I have had the opportunity is to really go out and interface with the market. What I'll tell you is most utilities have really progressed over the last 5 to 10 years in terms of their visibility. There's still the call, you know, the proverbial phone call from the customer, but more and more they've deployed smart meters, and they can use smart meters to help assess where power outages are. And that's interesting, right? It's a capability they have. And ironically, we're not actually taking our data and utilizing it in the context of how do we help it in this context of power outages. It's not really what we're doing for the utility industry. It's what we can do for the industries that would like to get this kind of visibility from the utilities, right?
So then, I see. All right. So you're not like giving the power company more detail on information that they know, but you're able to extend this kind of insight and knowledge to others that would need to know this thing. Like, for example,
public safety, emergency response, insurance, business resilience, right? One of the challenges we have, particularly in the U.S., is that, and a lot of people don't necessarily know this. I certainly didn't. There are over 3,200 different operating entities responsible for delivering the last mile of power. 3,200 munis, co-ops, investor-owned utilities. I mean, it's a conglomerate of different kind of organizations. And so one of the challenges, there's no consistent way of seeing our grid in a holistic view. What you get are essentially sophisticated solutions that involve web scraping utility websites to kind of form a view of the grid.
Oh, I see. So they don't have an exact holistic view, but they try to patch one together in a way?
They patch one together. And so you basically end up with the challenge of lowest common denominator, right? So I might get 10 or 15 minute interval updates, and I aggregate the insights at the county level. And that's really the best that's available today. What we can offer, because we have all of these existing power sensors, if you will, that already are in the broadband footprint, we actually can offer a consistent way of looking at the grid every 5 minutes, and we can do it with a hyperlocality down to, in our case, what we do is we aggregate everything to 1 square kilometer.
I see.
Utilizing a projection plane called the U.S. National Grid.
So now, when you're going into like the node and so forth for these sensors, do you put in the sensor, or are you taking advantage of information that's already there and like redeploying it for the purpose?
Yeah, we're literally working with the broadband operators to pull those devices every 5 minutes. Okay. We aggregate the data from that poll, and we get very simple data from every device. Every 5 minutes, we get the inverter status and the input voltage. And when we get those two pieces of data, we create a state for each sensor. And the state can be nominal. It can be power outage. It can be a high voltage state. It could be a low voltage state. It could be an exceptionally high voltage state. You get the idea. From those states, we then correlate the sensor's states in space and time, meaning we look at, do the sensors in the same proximate area within a kilometer of each other share the same state? They both enter into an outage state. We create an event, call it power outage event. So when we have at least two sensors that share that same kind of outage state, we create an event, and then we track those events over time. And you can actually see whether the event grows, meaning the power outage event is growing or shrinking. And you get this high resolution of down to the square kilometer. So,
yeah, I think we're going to, for everybody who's listening in around like the write up around the audio podcast, we're going to link over to something that was put together and maybe a couple screenshots to kind of show that in action. Right. Yeah. And I think that was around the big storms in California where you could see how the power outages started and expanded over time. It was kind of interesting. So that was actually off of your platform, right? What you were,
yes, sir.
Your system was seeing. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. In fact, we have a site that we host called poweroutage.fyi. It represents the current state of the power grid with outages, and you can use it. You can zoom all the way in. You give it gives a real kind of, you know, a nice view of what's going on in the power grid. And what I will tell you is that is a better view than what's available from any other commercial offering.
Interesting. Well, I want to talk. Yeah, and I want to ask you a little bit about like how you turn this into a product, right? And I think Power Event Notification System, PENS, was your first product. And then you'd mentioned when we were talking, exchanging emails earlier about PENS assets. So can you explain a little bit, like, all right, what is that product exactly? What's the difference between the two and, and anything on the roadmap, in addition to that, that you're working on?
Yeah, thanks, Jeff. So PENS, the Power Event Notification System, is actually a suite of products.
Okay.
We started with, when we initially put this as it was an innovation project at Cable Labs. And part of our initial work was, let's just see if we can actually gather this data. We gathered the data, a few years ago, we started getting enough data where it was interesting, and we took it out to the market. When I say the market, I mean, we talked to the utility market, we talked to the emergency management market, we talked to public safety, we talked to corporate security, we talked to business resilience, plethora of markets, insurance. And what we found was a couple of key things. First off, people were intrigued by the data because it was clearly different from anything else, right? It's as I've already described. And then the second thing is when we started sharing the data, they said, look, this is interesting, but what we really want are just events. So tell us about events.
Like so when the power's out, that's
right. The PENS Alerts product, right?
Okay.
It just gives you an alert. Say, if you have an area of interest, you're a county or a state or you're a corporate, we can send you an alert when we see a power go out in a county that exceeds X threshold of population impact, as an example, right? Or X magnitude of an outage. And those were, and we developed APIs to deliver those alerts, et cetera. And that garnered a lot of interest and some customers. And then what we ended up when we, as we've evolved this over the last year, what really became apparent was, these alerts are interesting, but what I'd really like to know is when it might actually impact one of the assets or pieces of infrastructure or a community or, core infrastructure for like a county that might be impacted by a power event. Now, I want to be really clear. What we don't have visibility into is, hey, this facility or this customer is out of power. I can't tell you that. What I can tell you is we see a power event. It's impacting X square kilometers, right? When you see that, I have high confidence that anything in that area is also experiencing a power outage. Right. We're slightly upstream from the subscribers. Right. We live between the meter and the substation because that's where the nature of these boxes are. They're at the neighborhood entrances. They're on poles. Yes.
But you can correlate. Yeah. You're able to correlate. Yeah. What's happening. Yeah. In that area. So, yeah.
So we had a customer the southern part of Florida that during the last hurricane. And it's really a sad scenario. They lost 30 citizens. And the commonality, all 30 were elderly and dependent on power. And so we developed a product that we call PENS Assets as a way to start monitoring specific locations. Remember, we look at USNG cells at 1 kilometer by 1 kilometer. So they identified the assisted living facilities. They gave us the address, if you will, of that USNG cell, the ID of that USNG cell, and we monitor that cell now.
What is that exactly?
So it's literally a square kilometer that's uniquely identified through.
Oh, that's what. Okay, I guess the label for it. Okay,
right. Gotcha. And so now, whenever we see an alert or whenever we see a power outage event, that I wish I could visualize this for you. Think of a tic-tac-toe diagram, where each cell is 1 kilometer by 1 kilometer, right? So it's a 3 kilometer by 3 kilometer area. right? And in the center cell is the asset that you're monitoring. In this case, an assisted living facility. Anytime we see a power event that touches any of those nine cells, we then send the alert and say, hey,
see
a power outage. It's impacting the, you know, it's potentially impacting your asset of interest. Now they have a mechanism for proactively reaching out to the community, in this case, the assisted living facility, and say, hey, we see that there's a power outage in your neighborhood. Are you okay? Do we need to send a, you know, a bus? Do we need, do you have a backup generator? It changes the paradigm of response. And that has been probably the single biggest difference with this Penn's asset product, is we enable kind of proactive response. And it applies to any asset, Jeff. It could be a Wells Fargo bank branch. It could be grocery stores. It doesn't matter. Anything, right?
Anything that's got access to power?
Yeah. I mean, all we're doing is monitoring that cell, right? At the end of the day, we're just monitoring the
anything cell. Anything in that cell. Okay.
Right. But what's really changed now is now we're talking with the big corporates in their business resilience stuff, where they don't have this kind of hyperlocality and real-time status of power. As an example, Wells Fargo will know when power is out at their branch, right? They'll know that.
What they won't know, the lights are out.
Right. What they won't know is it just them? Is it my whole neighborhood? Is it a big event? Is it a small event? Is it an event that's been going on for a while and we're just now seeing it?
Okay. Right?
We can provide that insight that they can't get from anybody else.
Interesting. I want to talk a little bit about, too, about your, I know you don't want to talk a lot about the footprint, but, you know, it is tied into grid metrics. Mm-hmm. And I think the latest number was like 325,000 sensors, right, that you're monitoring. So are those all node-based, or are there other sensors within that? And, you know, does that give you like a national view? How big of a view is that? Does that give you at this point? And are you looking to expand that or enhance it?
Yeah. So there are roughly 650,000 of these devices across the U.S. So we have roughly
nodes
of these power supplies.
Oh, okay. I gotcha. All right.
We are, and that's specific to the broadband industry. We've also talked to folks like, you know, the cell tower operators, et cetera. Mm. The interesting thing is what we end up coming back to is there is no other footprint like what the broadband industry has with respect to insights on power, right? Because we're down in the neighborhood level. So today we're monitoring roughly 50% of these. The way we qualify it is we look at the population that lives within or works within 1 kilometer of any one of these sensors. So today we're monitoring roughly 50% of the U.S. population, which, if you look at our map, if you go to PowerEdge.fyi or you're at GridMetrics.io, you'll see our coverage map. It's the green cells where we have coverage. You'll also see a high correlation with where people are, right? There's not a lot of sensors in the middle of Montana. There are a lot of sensors in Chicago and San Francisco and right all of the metro areas.
Okay.
Right? You'll also see where we have gaps. And yes, we're in active conversations with, you know, essentially the Cable Labs members to continue to expand that footprint. And that's my number one objective, is to continue to expand that footprint. When we get to, I think I'd call it an 80% threshold, it's a game changer for grid metrics.
Okay, interesting.
Meantime, part of why we developed this Penn's asset product was, how can we take advantage of what we have right now without waiting for that full footprint of coverage?
Right. And what are you able to do then, right? I mean, it sounds like you're definitely making progress here, but based on the footprint here, have you been able to, you mentioned some customers, so maybe we can talk about that a little bit in terms of who's been
involved. That's really interesting, right?
Yeah.
The insurance industry. They use our data to do power outage claims verification. Remember, there are 3,200 different operators. So if I'm, an insurance company and somebody calls in and says, hey, I had a power outage. I need to replace the contents of my refrigerator, right? Which turns out that's a pretty common claim.
I've had to make that claim. Yeah.
An insurance agent, right? How do I verify that? Well, I have to get your address. And then I have to figure out who is your service provider. And then I have to go contact that service provider, meaning the utility. And I have to place a request for a report. And maybe I get it. Maybe I don't. Maybe I get some information in days. What we do is we have a website that is used by the insurance organization where they type in their address of the claimant. We never see this, to be clear. This is their website. And they map it to our coverage area if we have coverage, right? A USNG cell that covers their area. They then type in the date and they send us a request for a report. And so all we're getting is the USNG cell ID and a date. And when we automatically generate a report right back to them that shows from the day before to the day after a graphic with the 9 grid cells, right? That same kind of tic-tac-toe board, and a very visual where we saw outages, the duration of the outages, the number of the outages, et cetera, broken down by every one of those cells. And that gives the claim agent right then and there the ability to say, oh, well, okay, I can verify that there was at least a power outage in your neighborhood. You're not trying to defraud me, right?
I see. Yeah, and they can get it a lot faster and easier than they could, you know, go on the other path. Right. Okay.
And then here's the other flip side of that. If you've got a claimant who, this is the third time they're making this claim, right? And if we send a report back and it shows no power outages, now they say, look, our system shows we didn't see a power outage event. I need you to verify that for me. I need you to contact your service provider and get documentation there was power outage. So you put the onus back on the claimant then, because now it's suspicion of fraud as opposed to I'm trying to make it easy for the customer to make a claim. Right.
Okay.
So there's a nice
interesting use case. Yeah. I imagine there's some others with other industries that could fit. Interesting. And then one thing I did want to hit on a piece of news that GridMetrics had just recently. There was the Environmental Systems Research Institute, or ESRI.
It
granted GridMetrics silver partner status. So and I think you guys have been working with ESRI for a while, but can you talk a little bit about why achieving that status is significant? Because I'm not familiar with the world of ESRI here. Yeah.
Yeah. So ESRI is the dominant GIS, Geographic Information Systems, player across actually the globe. And basically, you think of them as a visualization platform for mapping, right? Where you basically have a map and then you have lots of attribute layers that you can put down. So think of it as if I have a map and I have a weather forecast, I can put that layer down. I can put down power outage events as another layer of information, right? I can put down the assisted living facilities as another layer. You basically build these layers and you have intelligence by visually looking at the intersections of those different layers. So here's a weather pattern, here's power outages, here's assisted living facilities. And you can pinpoint where you're seeing, you know, activity that matters or becomes actionable. ESRI, we've been working with ESRI for 3 years. We started as a, you know, in their startup program, and part of what allowed us to elevate and graduate to the silver partner status that we announced last month was our ability to provide a commercial scalable solution across multiple industry segments. And now we're working with, you know, we've been kind of promoted, if you will, as a beyond the startup program, which is a big deal for us as a, you know, as a kind of emerging company that's, you know, we're still fundamentally being incubated at Cable Labs. We're still 100% owned by Cable Labs, but I really want to position us as, look, we're ready to start standing up on our own. And this is a big step in that direction.
Yeah. And how are you getting into the market, right? I mean, if you're still technically being incubated, imagine you don't have a sales force of 900 people out there. No. So how are you
small getting but mighty the word team. Out?
Yeah. So how are you then kind of getting out into the market with this? I'm sure there's some direct stuff you have to do, but are there channel partners, you can
Esri is a channel partner.
They are.
Esri is a notable channel partner. There's a handful of other companies that I can highlight that we're working with. In the emergency management arena, there's a company called Javari that provides a product called WebEOC that's used by 90% of the counties and states across the U.S. And we're integrating our data layer into their product. There's OnSolve, BCG. I should know all of these off the top of my head, but we got probably a dozen different resellers where we're basically Bentier is another one where we're integrating disaster tech. We're integrating our data layer into their platform. Because what we can't do, Jeff, you're spot on. I mean, I got one guy that helps me sell. I've got a product owner, right? And I've got a GIS person. And that's really the whole team. I mean, there isn't a whole lot here, right? What we have that's unique is the data. So we have to be very strategic and thoughtful about how we bring it to market. And trying to do direct sales to one county at a time, yeah, it's needed to, you're never going to go get a reseller relationship without demonstrating you can generate a customer. You generate a customer, now you go back to the reseller and you say, hey, we've got a proof point, we've got a value prop, we need scalability, and we can do that through your platform. Right?
Interesting.
And that's the stage that we're at now.
Yeah, and how has that been working? Are you seeing some trajectory and some momentum, by kind of going in that, using that kind of the channel partner model?
The pickup from this announcement with Esri has already had very tangible material return on a announcement with some engagement from very
ROA.
Very large companies that suddenly were like, we've been looking for this data. So Esri is introducing us to some of their big customers. We've hit an inflection point of, I'll call it visibility now. And our PENS asset product is probably the one that's really garnering the most attention because it's a scalable purchasing thing, right? If I've got 1,000 assets, it's $1,000 a month. Right, it's a dollar per.
Yeah, so that's what your business model was. Yeah, is it really a simple, subscription right? Is that how it's based? Okay.
Yeah.
And interesting. And then maybe this is another partner. I'm not sure how they fit in, but when we were preparing for this, you had mentioned you had also integrated with GeoServer. How does that? Why is that important?
GeoServer is an open source GIS. Hosting package. So we actually have all of our data up in the Google Cloud hosted in BigQuery. And one of the things that we wanted to do was be able to serve our data through APIs, right? But when I set up an API, what I don't want to do is have this intermediary place where I dump the data and then send it to somebody because that's exposure. So GeoServer allows us to actually provide a REST API that integrates into any GIS platform, Esri or otherwise, where it's literally a URL, they subscribe to it, and our data layer shows up in their package. So it's really, really simple. And they get a 5-minute update with whatever events, power events that are taking place in whatever geography or assets that they've been monitoring, right? So it's a really simple delivery system. So implementing GeoServer, which is tightly coupled to our BigQuery, is a kind of a big step up for us in terms of functionality and deliverable ease of delivery.
Okay, and the last thing I had a couple last questions for you, Scott. One is, now that you're several years into this, you're seeing some momentum. I mean, number one, what's like the biggest learning you've had? So far, and then, what's the top priority? We're a couple months into 2024, but top priority for this year, I guess those two things.
So, Jeff, I could go on about this for a long time. I'll try to be very concise. We're in ostensibly being focused very much in the broadband industry, we have kind of blinders on sometimes to the rest of the world, what's going on. What GridMetrics has really fundamentally given me a purview to is the dynamics of the power industry. That industry is undergoing a tremendous transformation right now, and it's being driven by three large trends. Decarbonization, right? We have to change our source of fuel from fossil to renewables or environmentally friendly, right? And basically that means we're moving from this idea of central generation to distributed resources, right? Could be solar on your rooftop, could be wind farms, et cetera, but it's no longer this idea of big coal plants, it's distributed energy available. The second is, while we're trying to transform our power source, we're also electrifying our transportation industry. And that is a fundamental, now we're saying the fuel source for transportation is going to be electricity. And that puts a tremendous load on the power grid, which was never built for this, right? So it's not about whether or not we can do it. It's that anytime you plug in your EV, you effectively double the peak capacity requirement for that location. So your house is going to be X, you plug in your vehicle, it's now 2X. And that kind of instant load is a challenge for the grid to operate, right? Hmm. Especially as
it's only going to get worse as more people, exactly, as they adopt hybrids or electric vehicles. Yeah. Okay. Right.
And then the third big trend is obviously climate and the impact it's having on physical infrastructure. So there's a move to start trying to underground more and more of the electrical infrastructure. And actually all of those really converge, all of those trends converge on the distribution power grid, right? That last mile. And it turns out that's where there's this real lack of visibility. The best analogy I can give you and your audience is, back in the early 90s, the broadband operators underwent a tremendous transformation affected by DOCSIS, right? We went from an analog one-way flow of video to suddenly we digitized everything and we had bidirectional flow of data. It happened to be video in some forms, right? That was a whole new, not just architecture, but a new management system, a new dynamic that needed to be developed for the broadband operators. Well, the power industry is undergoing that same kind of massive transformation. Currently, everything was designed and architected for the last 120 years, centralized generation, transmission, distribution, all one-way flow, right, of power. Well, now we're moving power to be generated out at the edge. It's going to have to be this dynamic two-way flow of power. And you need real-time visibility and understanding about what's happening in the grid. Our footprint, these sensor locations, have a tremendous advantage by their inherent, like, 30-year investment of they're already there and can provide that real-time visibility. So when we start talking about what else could we do with this, it's a recognition of the footprint, what's happening with the utility industry, and our ability to rapidly bring high fidelity visibility to what's happening in the distribution portion of the grid. So that's where we're headed. Right. And I mean, it's incredibly exciting. I mean, I could do a whole podcast just on that.
All right. Well, and how about priority then? If you had to boil it down, what's the biggest one?
Well, in the terms of our existing commercial offerings, the number one thing is to continue to obviously gain customers, extend our footprint, right? Continue the discussions with the broadband operators to extend our coverage area. And then the third is I would say demonstrate our ability to bring this higher fidelity visibility to the power industry. And in that context, what we're really talking about is we would be deploying a new capability inside of that existing power supply, right? And Jeff, I'll just tease you with, if if you had the platform available of all of these power supplies, right, and you're developing any kind of an IoT solution, what are the two core elements required for any IoT solution?
Probably connectivity.
Connectivity
and power.
Right. And resilient power would be an ideal, right?
Okay.
Well, we have that. 600,000 of these locations, right? So imagine the ability for our industry to leverage that in the context of rapidly deploying high fidelity sensors in those devices. So now all of a sudden I could have not just visibility into what's going on in the power grid, but I could put any sensor in there, right? Air quality sensor, a smoke detector, right? Like there's all kinds of opportunity to leverage that footprint in ways that we just fundamentally haven't taken advantage of as an industry.
Okay.
But
it sounds like there's some paths, some different paths you can take or some different branches off of the path. Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. The coupling between our industry and the power industry is one that has been traditionally seen as, I don't want to call it adversarial, but not necessarily cooperative. And the reality is we're dealing with an emerging awareness of the challenges facing our power infrastructure. And our industry really can be a corporate steward of goodness that we can do to help address some of the big challenges they're facing. Because every solution that they're looking for ultimately is constrained by comms. And we have this existing comms infrastructure that's already there, that's literally on the same poles, in the same conduits, on the same pads, and we just haven't taken advantage of how we can bring that, kind of that infrastructure that we have to the benefit of what the utility industry needs, like ASAP. And that's really my ambition, is to demonstrate that capability.
All right. Excellent. Well, I know we covered a lot of ground, but I think that's where we're going to leave it for today. So thanks for joining me on the podcast today, Scott, and for getting us up to speed on grid metrics. I'll look forward to staying in touch with you about it as things progress on your end of it.
Awesome. Thank you, Jeff.
All right. Take care, Scott.